Hi friends, we will start with chapter 12, which is on hypothesis testing. The objective that we set for ourselves is the how to formulate a good hypothesis, how to test this, and steps in hypothesis formation and different types of hypothesis. And so what is hypothesis testing means? You have a management dilemma, you are converting to management problem, you are converting to research problem. But at the end, you are searching an answer to one specific question. Hypothesis is just a judgment. And based on your experience, you make a statement which is an assertive statement in its own way. It defines that okay, with the 10% rise in my prices, my market is going to increase so much percentage, etc. So that's how you the research problem is like you want to measure the impact of price rise on your marketing, this thing, but you have defined an hypothesis which is in a way, manner that it is an assertive in nature. And it's a therefore very important tool in marketing research. Most of the time effort should be made to convert your research problem into an hypothesis. So what is that that determines hypothesis development? The choice of probability distribution means probability is the essence of the entire statistical science, and based on probability only you are going to derive a sample size, and then sample is getting extrapolated on the population. So hypothesis plays a very important role where it has converted the research problem into a assertive statement, which is what you are trying to find an answer to. So the hypothesis testing, the probability distribution is a derivative of the purpose of hypothesis testing, the size of the sample that you have. And if the population standard deviation is known, then the sample size does not really matter. So what it tries to say is a statistical terminology. I will very briefly try and explain. Many times you do not know the deviations likely. If you do not know the deviations likely, you tend to have a larger sample. If that is not so and you know that overall the deviation will fall within, then the statistically the sample size doesn't really matter, as it says. Testing of hypothesis could be begin with an assumption. So as I said, the assertive statement is nothing but an assumption. You are defining based on certain aspects or certain knowledge that you have, okay, this is what is my result going to be. And around that, this entire research is formed, and when this analysis is interpreted, it will either support you. There are statistical tools which says why there is a correlation to your finding with hypothesis or not. And when your hypothesis gets supported, your hypothesis is accepted. Otherwise, your hypothesis is rejected. So there is the likelihood that you declare, and around that your entire research is sample design, sample unit, etc. gets formed. And essence is that when you do this, when this hypothesis is either accepted, it is also supposed to be true on the population. So when it is in the real life that finding is taken and implemented, it is supposed to work the way the research has suggested to you. I will not get into the details of this. I have mentioned that it's a selective assertive statement based on assumption. Population parameters only if have a relevance. If there is a sample deviation is known, if sample deviation is unknown, you are not able to factor it out, then probably the better way is to do a larger sample. Otherwise, within no limitations of the statistical tool as such, derived hypothesis, if it supports your assumption, or if supports your derived finding, inference, if it supports your hypothesis, there are statistical tools which measures the link between the finding and that hypothesis. It will either confirm that it is acceptable or rejecting your hypothesis. So based on this, if it is accepted, your entire derivative of that finding on your population should stand true. That's the essence of hypothesis testing. How do you go about define the state, define the problem, state the null hypothesis, state the alternative hypothesis, selection of the particular test that will declare the probability of its appropriateness, etc., making a suitable choice of the critical values, and then comparing the statistics with the critical values and making a decision. So these are the 6 points which I think we will go to study. So steps of hypothesis testing: the problem definition it is a derivative of the research problem, but in an assertive manner, it is put in that manner that it conveys the real relation between the parameters, and then it is subject to test. Yani. So, my reduction in my price will boost my sales by 20%, or 10% incremental promotion will boost my sale by 30%, or in the chapter on hypothesis that we have studied earlier, etc. It's like we have said, bhai, if I make my application as a part process, then the response level will increase by 30%. So, these are the way that hypotheses are expressed. So, they are expressed in a real measurable way. Based on which you derive a null hypothesis. Here the null hypothesis is the statement which is a probability you feel your research will support. Alternative is a rejection of that statement, which is an opposite of that statement, is an alternative hypothesis. Selection of the parameter, pertinent test and appropriate probability distribution. It is now essential to select a suitable test. Yani. So, what will be tested to either match your hypothesis or accept your hypothesis or reject your hypothesis. Purpose of hypothesis testing is important and determines the above. So, what is the purpose of your hypothesis that you are testing? That will determine which test you take. Yani. Selecting appropriate criteria for either selecting or rejecting null hypothesis needs to be taken into account before even you start your research. Significance level, number of degrees of freedom, one or two tailed test, etc. This will get covered more as we move forward. And these are the points that needs to have a clarity when you set your hypothesis and you begin your hypothesis testing, so to say. Then comes the steps of hypothesis testing. We continue making a suitable choice of the critical values. Yani. So, significant level is decided, say, minus 1%, 5%, 10%. So, what is that? The significance level determines the deviation from the natural findings. Yani. So, that much is allowed. Yani. And accordingly, your statistical numbers have emerged. Though your sample population, a sample number has emerged out of the population. So, these are all factors that get into account. There are errors that is associated with this various levels that you do. So, type 1, type 2, as we go forward, we will study them. Type 1 is rejecting the null hypothesis when it is true. So, you make a type 1 error where you reject the null hypothesis when it is supposed to be true. This happens due to various reasons, so to say. Type 2 is not rejecting the null hypothesis when it is not supposed to be true. So, there is the vice versa. So, type 1 and type 2 errors are possible. One need to be aware about and therefore accordingly take a careful step. And this has a impact on cost. So, to avoid this, some play with the sample size, some play with the significance level, etc. Now, that will determine your coverage and based on that, your total cost will emerge. So, that's a constraint within which the research agency and marketing function has to play. Significance level, I will not get into what I'm going to do, the statistical explanation of it. But if the hypothesis is to be tested, the 10% level of the significance, it means the null hypothesis will be rejected further if the difference between the sample statistics and hypothesized parameters of population is so large that there is a large difference that would occur in the real time. Yani. So, the 10% difference, if it is a significant this thing, then you will have to reduce your significance level. Then you will have to say the minus 5 or 5%, etc. So, that this significance level based hypothesization, once your hypothesis is accepted, suppose, if it is going to have a major impact on your marketing, then accordingly the significance level start going narrower and narrower. If it is okay, you are doing probably an exploratory research or you are doing, your decision is not so sensitive on number, etc., then you can probably have a significance level tweaked on a higher side so that your other aspects like sample size and all other aspects will change. So, that's the another aspect that one need to be careful about hypothesis testing. Type 1 error, as I said, you reject your hypothesis despite the fact that your hypothesis is true. There is nothing called a specific rule of selecting a significance level as we have earlier studied. Yana. the most common chosen level in the research are 1%, 5% or 10% level. Although it may be possible to test the hypothesis at any of this level, it should be clearly understood that the significance level so selected is also the risk assumed. You assume a risk that of rejecting a null hypothesis when it is true. Higher the significance level used for testing hypothesis, greater the probability of rejecting it, because you are allowing a deviation to that level. So it might happen that the higher the significance level, the probability that your null hypothesis get rejected. So you actually reject the null hypothesis, but in reality it is not so. Yeah, so that's the type 1 error, as they say. Type 2 error is a reverse of it, alternatively not rejecting null hypothesis. It might happen that your hypothesis is not getting rejected, but in reality, market may not be so large, or market, you may not get that large kind of a share, etc. So that's the type 2 error that the hypothesis testing has to look at. So we now come to understanding the power of hypothesis testing. Essentially, I want to just highlight the following 3 points. The power of hypothesis test depends on following 3 parameters. The significance level we have discussed, the reliability of the sample results, that is, will it be right when extrapolated on a large population, and the effect size, what is the size of the effect this thing is. Now, there is another concept called degree of freedom. This refers to the number of bits or unconstrained data used in calculating a sample statistics. So there is a n, and there is a n is a total number of information bits available, and k is the representative, is a number of linear constraints within which this sampling is done, or that information is available. What I want to try and say is that these are the few aspects which links to the hypothesis testing. Degree of freedom has a relevance to the n minus 1 aspect also. So at n level also you have to take this thing, and at n minus 1 level also where you have to test the hypothesis, so that you are able to derive better the acceptance of hypothesis, then can be derived in a correct manner. You probably don't make type 1 or type 2 error. I am not too statistical about this explanation, but that's, I think, not even necessary for the kind of subject that you all are in, and level it is expected to be. And so I am not here to make a statisticians. I am here to make people understand what is marketing research, and therefore it is good enough to know that there is a concept called degree of freedom. And degree of freedom at n level and n minus 1 level, when probed and analyzed, can support your hypothesis or can reject your hypothesis. There are tests also, another test called one-tailed test, or two-tailed test. This is nothing but that normal curve I want you to visualize, and then there is a center line, etc. One-tailed test tells you that when you conduct this test, it determines the particular research determines the particular whether a particular population pattern is larger or smaller than the predefined value. So there are predefined value, and then when this test is applied, it tries to determine that population parameters selected are larger or smaller, and accordingly this test will either support or reject your hypothesis. There are two-tailed tests, which is probing both ends of the graph, and based on that it derives your acceptance or rejection of it. It is not that you have a choice of one or two tailed, it is that the certain one tailed test is suitable for certain parameters, two tailed test is necessary for certain parameters. So that's what determines, that is getting determined by the statisticians. Type steps in hypothesis testing, and we are continuing to do that. 5 comparison test statistics with there is a comparison that you have to do. The step 5 is the comparison of the test statistics with the critical value. Here the actual test is conducted. After that there are different types of tests, which I have explained later, and obtained statistical results are compared with the assumed criteria or the result. So assumed result is nothing but that hypothesis that you have declared. So when you do this, And when your statistical distinct is compared with that, you come to know whether your assumed results are accepted or whether your hypothesis is accepted or rejected. So that's the step 5 of comparing the test statistics with the critical value. How to make a decision? Then there is a question. This is a step in hypothesis testing to reach statistical decision. This involves accepting or rejecting your hypothesis, which is primarily the null hypothesis. This will depend on whether the computed value of the test falls within the given region. So that given region is one tail, two tail test, or you know, those parameters. And based on that, your hypothesis gets either selected or gets rejected. There are two types of tests, yani parametric test and there are non-parametric tests. The parametric test, as they say, assumes that the parameters such as the mean, the standard deviation, etc. exist and they are used in testing and hypothesis. In some cases, the population may not have a normal distribution. So, your population may not have a normal curve due to certain reasons. Research has to try and nullify those things, and that's what that's the time when they try to do the parameter based testing. It's the most used test to derive at acceptance or rejection of the hypothesis. However, parametric tests, there are several types of it, yani Z test, T test, X test, F test. These tests are more powerful as compared to non-parametric test. It's like, it's not that, as I told you earlier, that we are not here to be a statistician. Those who are keen can probably briefly refer what is given in the book. But essentially, yeah, there are four different types of parametric tests. Each has its own unique utility, and statisticians know how to use them. But at the end of this, what it means that when your parametric test reveals a relation between the statistical finding versus your hypothesis, then your hypothesis either gets accepted or gets rejected. So that's the message I am trying to drive home. There are non-parametric tests also. There are situations, particularly in marketing research, where the assumption underlines the parameter tests are not valid. So, situationally, there may be certain aspects or areas where parametric tests cannot be applied. This means that there is no assumption that a particular distribution is valid to certain values. The distribution type is such that you cannot relate it to certain assumed value. In such case, the non-parametric tests are to be used. So, it's a distribution-free test. So, otherwise, normally for every aspects, it is assumed that various things follow the normal curve. So, if that is not the case, then in such case, there are non-parametric tests which are available, such as K-square test, rank sum test, and McNamara test. So, non-parametric test, the major advantage of the non-parametric test is that there is a quick and easy to use. It's a statistically, it is easy to use. You do not require complex data collection, etc. And accuracy of the data, even if it is slightly at a sacrifice level, it can still drive your hypothesis testing in a better manner. It involves a greater risk of accepting a false hypothesis, and thus committing a type 2 error is greater in a non-parametric test. So that one need to really be careful about. K-square test or one sample test, etc., as they say, this is a type of a test which is generally done. It enables the research to determine whether an observed pattern or of a frequency match an expected pattern. That is, when this observed pattern is matching with the expected pattern or not. And when this expected pattern match happens, will it hold true at a population level? So, that's the goodness fit, as they say, which is what is generally observed in this K-square non-parametric hypothesis testing. McNamara test, this test is a modification of a K-square test, and it can be used with nominal and ordinal data. And so, we have studied what is nominal and what is ordinal data. This test is known as an ideal test for the pre-evaluation and post-evaluation. Is generally done where situations like if you monitor the pre-test and post-test kind of a scenario, And if you are going to get the result out of it, then in such cases, such kind of a tests are more better. It throws at you the kind of frequency table, and this table has its own derivative meaning out of it. It is not that we are going to really understand this McNamara test in detail in terms of calculation. Example of 2 by 2 frequency table, as we see, 2 rows, 2 columns, etc. Kind of a table will emerge, and then the study of it and matching your test results to that kind of will help you to determine acceptance or rejection of your hypothesis. Limitations of the test of hypothesis is like the test should not be used in a mechanical manner. It should be kept in view that the testing is not a decision making. So, testing is a tool that is a directive in nature. It is not a decisive in nature. That should be remembered. Tests do not explain or elaborate on the reason why a particular difference has come in. So, reason why what you assumed versus the expected result, it doesn't get into answering those kind of questions. Results from the significance test depends upon the probability, as such cannot be expressed with full certainty. So, these are all results coming out which you try to match statistically to determine the validity of the hypothesis, etc. One need to keep in constantly in mind, by all this is a science of probability, and in that case the possibility or the probability is there. Probability is a indicative a determination. Now it is up to you how you read that. So that's what it is trying to convey. Hypothesis testing may suggest based on probability certain aspects, but then how you look at it makes it more important. Statistical inferences based on the significance tests cannot be said to be entirely correct. We have studied the significance test and we said that the significant test correlates with the statistical finding, and then that decides your hypothesis acceptance or rejections. But at the same time, one need to really remember that there may not be any real evidence that really conveys those kind of a reliability. And so what we are at is a research hypothesis is an assumption or a theory that a researcher makes about the characteristics of the population being investigated. So broadly, at the end, if I have to kind of gradually summarize you, that hypothesis is the assumption that we make about sample that we have chosen, post which its applicability on the entire population. So that is the essence of the overall hypothesis. It has its own limitations. We have studied hypothesis needed to be tested, as they say. This testing has various tests, parametric and non-parametric tests, as we have studied. This test determines the relevance of statistical finding to your hypothesis, determining it to be valid or rejected, and that has its own meaning. But we have also studied the limitations of all the statistical tools and techniques over hypothesis testing, and overall the probability and its impact on decision making. We have tried understanding. So, this is what is our understanding about hypothesis testing that we have derived today. Thank you.